Today we'll be discussing the explosive relationship between Russia and China, and many Americans better start taking heed to this. There's a lot of chatter in many circles that there's some heat coming, and many Americans are just not prepared for this. But Escobar wrote a great piece regarding Russia and China's partnership. But they're coming after the U.S. empire. And this is a very interesting program today, because if you understand what the Russians and the Chinese are trying to do, our mainstream media is not telling you. So be very, very cautious, because what you think you know and the comfort zone most Americans have is very unrealistic to what's going on around the world. But the Chinese State Council, they finally released a crucial policy paper, and they titled it A Global Community of Shared Future. China's proposal and actions, that they say. And, you know, you have to read this, because this is very interesting the way they're wording it. And it's something that is going to impact the American hegemony. This is a roadmap for peace, as they say, or as they call it, a multipolar future. Remember, we were a unipolar future when the United States was dominant and our currency was reserve currency, although to some extent the reserve currency status is still there. But we've definitely lost the unipolar world ever since we picked this war and fight with Russia on purpose, of course. Everything has changed. And now what they're doing is the Chinese and the Russians, this is very interesting. They're preaching a certain level of peace. And I mean peace in a way that sounds really good. It sounds like global. It sounds one world order, like who would not go along with it kind of concept. But this kind of peace doesn't go very well with the United States dominance, as well as England and Europe. It just doesn't. It doesn't jive. So someone is going to have to give in. And who is it? Is the Chinese-Russian theory going to fall flat? Or is the West and the United States and England and Europe going to have to give in to this one world concept of peace? It's a very interesting approach that they're taking. Now, we're called, I guess the best way to put this is, we're called the hegemon. It's a hegemony. We are the single power, the United States. And basically, we are what we would call the war party. Now, United States is war incorporated, I guess you could put it, right? I think the Chinese laid it out that we've been around for 200, I don't know, was it 38 years? And we've been at war like 226 years of that. They really nailed us to the wall, and I don't think many people listened to that speech by the Chinese. That was about maybe 5 or 6 months ago, but it's pretty powerful, and we're going to have to go along with this, and that doesn't jive, though, with our war economy, wartime power that the United States tries to hold. My guess is we're going to drag the world into this abyss, or what you would call a hybrid turned hot war, and it's going to have tremendous consequences. That's why we're picking a fight with Russia in Ukraine. We cannot go into the mode of peace, one world harmony, although we started to have that business-wise, and through the Trump era, we were definitely achieving that, even though he was going after China on sanctions. Not sanctions, but so much trade. That was very appropriate. We were just establishing trade boundaries. But ever since the United States picked the fight with Russia and started this war, we basically drew the battle lines of the world. And it's become very interesting. We are seeing an ever-evolving Russia and China, which they were not friends like this before, but we are seeing now a strategic partnership developing. They wrote a white paper, and it notes how President Xi Jinping first raised the vision of what they call a global community of shared future. Now, he was addressing this in Moscow at the State Institution of International Relations, and this was some 10 years ago. Now, that was when the new Silk Road began. And for many of you that are not familiar, or what they would call the Belt and Road Initiative, the BRI, This is basically China developing commerce and relationships going from China to the West, where they took over all the ports in the seas. They developed trains. They also developed roads. It's the old-fashioned Silk Road. You should do your homework on that sometime. It's very fascinating, but they're redeveloping that, and it's becoming a really big deal. But this Belt and Road Initiative, or the Silk Road, was launched about 10 years ago. And it was like an overarching foreign policy concept that President Xi started when he became president in China. Now, they're having a Belt and Road Forum next month in Beijing, and they're going to celebrate the 10th anniversary of the Silk Road. And they're going to relaunch a series of the projects that they put in place. Now, they're calling it what they would say is a community of shared future. It's a concept virtually ignored across the West, and in several cases lost in the translation in the East. But the white paper's ambition is really something else, and it introduces the what you would call the theoretical base, the practice and development of a global community of a shared future. Now, as I'm saying this stuff, think about what it sounds like. It sounds like the harmony pitched by the United Nations as if we all stand together and we can have harmony and peace. Think about that. Now, this is the angle they're taking. Now, don't mind you, I don't trust the Chinese. They're communists, and I don't trust any of them, Russians at all. But they're smart, and they're putting the West against the wall. The shared future idea is a big one. There's five key points, including building partnerships in which these countries treat each other as equals. Now, mind you, I don't really think that works because who's going to trust each other? But this is the concept that they're building. It's supposed to be a fair and just security environment. It's an inclusive development, kind of an inter-civilization exchange. And they want an ecosystem that puts like Mother Nature and green earth first. You see how they're kind of taking away from the West? Now, here's two school of thought. Is this China and Russia trying to steal from the West to dominate the world? Or are the Chinese Russians coming along with the communists, Marxists, and socialists of the West, and they all going to join forces to create a one world order, one government? So this can go both ways. Is this going to be something where the United States will relinquish hegemony, relinquish authority and dominance over the world in order to come into the one world order harmony? It sure sounds like it is, because there are those on the left, absolutely, in this country that are Marxist, they're communists, and they're socialists. And the unfortunately, the average American has no idea what that means. But in the end of the day, when we find out what it means, we're going to know that that means you've lost your freedom, you lost your options for choice, and you will be an absolute slave in so many ways you would really hate it, but it's going to be too late. So this community of shared future is a concept, you know, that's ignored in the West. The white paper's ambition is serious, and it's going to introduce this like basis of a global community. And they're serious about the implementation of it. Now, this isn't really new coming out of the East, because President Xi detailed this in 2015 at the United Nations General Assembly, which that is interesting in itself, because they're kind of building a parallel universe of what the West is trying to do. They're criticizing the zero-sum game. That's the United States. Win at all costs, destroy, conquer, and be powerful. To which certain countries cling to, which would be us, England and the United States. China completely aligns with the global South and the global majority, as in the common interest of all people around the world. When the world thrives, China thrives, vice versa. Well, that's not exactly the rule-based international order we have today, is it? Now, it was, and I think I contend that President Trump was going to lead it into a magnificent world harmony. But obviously, that election didn't quite go in. Well, let's just put it this way. That election went in the most banana republic fashion ever. And they try to use COVID as the cover up. But they radically went left field and went AWOL on the idea of global business and trade. We kind of destroyed the supply chain. We froze hundreds of billions of dollars of Russian money. The world is seeing that now, realizing the United States can't be trusted. And now we're at this serious war with Russia. But this whole idea is about, you know, a rules-based international order. It's about harmony. A new system of international relations. Where China was saying they want to prioritize, you know, extensive consultation with one another. Talk about it as we're equals. The principle of like a sovereign equality, they say. And they want to run this through the United Nations Charter. Now, they're trying to make it sound good. Don't get me wrong. It does sound good. But believe you me, when they talk about that level of control to reach peace, they are talking about 100% slave state control because the communist Chinese control their people so unbelievably, they're slaves and they're okay with it. Do you remember what Klaus Schwab said? You're going to have nothing and be happy about it, be happy with having nothing. That's the slave state they want to take us to. But in order to do that, they have to get you to go along with it. So they're promoting kind of a dialogue of civilization. And there's a few paragraphs I thought was particularly relevant here. The concept of a global community of shared future reflects on the idea that you have common interests of all civilizations. You have the idea of peace and development and unity and coexistence. It's kind of like a win-win relationship. A Russian proverb holds, together we can weather the storm. There's a Swiss-German writer, Hermann Hesse, he proposed, serve not war and destruction, but peace and reconciliation. A German proverb read that an individual's effort is addition to a team's effort in multiplication. There's an African proverb that says, a singular pillar is not sufficient to build a house. And an Arab proverb says, if you want to walk fast, walk alone. If you want to walk far, you walk together. Do you see what they're doing? They're talking about the concept of everyone coming together in peace and harmony. That is not possible with the United States and England because we are a wartime economy and we are a wartime nation. I don't know if many Americans even understand that the entire American system is built on war. We have been at war about 90% of our existence. And half the time it was probably justified. The other half the time we definitely started it. But this what I call the Silk Road anyway, is rolling and they're doing it. The Chinese diplomacy is on fire and that goes even along with the BRICS currency that they're developing. But they're very vocal about needing this new type of economic globalization. And they want to engage in peaceful development and true multilateralism. Now, that's not going to happen with England and the United States in the state that we're in. It brings us to the Silk Road. The white paper defines as a vivid example of building a global community of a shared future, a global public good and cooperation provided by China to the world. Of course, the hegemon, which would be the United States and its collective West vassals like Europe and England, they're not going for it. I personally think it's a debt trap mechanism unleashed by China. I think they're going to enslave all these countries by providing money to them and then keeping them as slaves because you owe us. That's kind of what the United States has been doing for the last 50 years. Interestingly, the white paper notes factually that 3/4 of the countries in the world and over 30 international organizations have already joined the Belt and Road Initiative, the Silk Road. It refers to the sprawling, ever-expanding framework of 6 corridors, 6 routes. As I was telling you, it's about the ports, the pipelines, cyberspace connectivity, the new Eurasian land bridge, railways and express, and the land-sea trade corridor crisscrossing Eurasia. This is a really big deal, and I really believe why the United States has gone into picking a war with Russia. They're trying to destabilize this control mechanism that's coming from the East. But we better listen to Medved in Russia. He's warning very seriously that the United States is already preparing the next stage of its hybrid war against China, even as it remains buried deep into this proxy war against Russia in Ukraine. We're prepared. We're getting ready to go against both of them. And don't think, Americans, that we're not. Russia's strategic policy basically is aligning with the Chinese white paper. They're promoting this greater Eurasian partnership, a concerted drive towards like this multipolarity. And they're doing it for the primacy of the global South, the global majority. This is a new system of international relations. Is it going to align with the West? Is this what creates the New World Order? Or is the West trying to lead the New World Order, which then therefore they've got to go to war with Russia, China, which means, folks, we're going to probably see nuclear war. We are known as like the Straussian neocon psychopaths in the West. We just are. Unfortunately, we're warmongers. We're in charge of the foreign policy, these people, and they keep raising the stakes. That's why just recently, I know probably 9.5 out of 10 Americans didn't even catch this. We attacked the headquarters of the Black Sea Fleet in Sevastopol. This is a new National Security Council report that led to the warning by the Security Council Deputy Chairman Medved. I mean, we are doing everything we can in the United States to get this war to escalate. NATO has turned into an openly fascist. Now, this is what Medved says, and honestly, I believe him. This is really sad because I'm an Army war veteran and I love America, but the people running our country, folks, they're not in our favor. And I believe Medved is right. He says that we have turned openly fascist. We are a bloc similar to Hitler's Axis, but yet bigger. It looks like Russia is being left with little choice other than to direct conflict with NATO. The result will be much heavier losses for humanity than in 1945, and I totally agree with him. I think this is leading to nuclear war. The Russian Ministry of Defense, meanwhile, has revealed that the Ukraine has suffered a staggering 83,000 battlefield deaths since the spring offensive was supposed to take effect. Even Defense Minister Shoigu said in Russia all but gave away the game in terms of the long-term strategy, when he said that if we can implement of measures and the plans here that we have until 2025, they will achieve their goals. But faced with this cosmic NATO humiliation on the battlefield, and I always contend if NATO loses this war with Russia, the dollar collapses as a superior dominant currency. And that's where you're going to see the economic collapse come into the United States. Biden combo has no way out. I contended back in 2016, Hillary Clinton was going to start this war, and then Donald Trump got in and we had peace. Now, Biden, first thing he does when he gets in, not only does it cut off our oil supply, he drains our energy reserve and the strategic petroleum reserve, but he goes to war with Russia. Even if we declare unilateral ceasefire to try to re-weaponize Kyiv,